Gino Afternoon, made possible with support from Hanson Gress, delivering IT support to local businesses for over 15 years. I'm Andy Klein, your host for today, and our next guest is here to preview a gaming night tomorrow for people who are transgender. It's the owner of Game On.
Yeah,
that's the
it.
Business out in the Nugget Mall. Casey Harris is here. Casey, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Andy.
So this is a cool idea, and so number one, tell me a little bit about your business, Game On. What can people expect if they just go to Game On?
So we are, A, the only video game store in over 500 miles. B, the only video game store, as far as we can tell globally, that focuses on diversity and representation in video games. There's a research group in Australia who's been talking to us because they didn't expect this.
Uh-huh.
We got some national attention by winning a competition recently, and they caught wind of our name and like, you're doing what now?
Now, when you say that, do you mean transgender representation and diversity representation within the games themselves? So the characters and things like that that are in the games, or is it more for the folks who are playing, or both?
It's actually both.
Yeah.
And it's not just transgender. It's not the LGBTQ community. It's really almost everyone. The video game world is very much focused on straight white men in their early 20s or late teens. And realistically, they're not the average gamer. The average gamer is actually a woman of any age. There are more women
right?
in every age bracket.
I had that assumption as well. I mean, you
right?
see all the ads for Call of Duty and stuff like that, right? And it seems like it's very targeted at exactly as you described it.
Yeah,
you know, young white male kind of demographic.
That's actually Nintendo's doing from the 90s. They segregated it. But they did it because the whole market was segregating into toys for boys and girls. But we are we're on the wrong end from what people are expecting. They're expecting the change to come from within the industry, and that's really hard to do. We're bringing that change from our side. We're bringing it from the consumers. We're helping people find the games that are already doing a good job and vote with their money for them. So you get it from us. You find the studio. You like them. You go buy the new game that comes out by that studio.
That's a really interesting point that you make, you know, and it's this thing that we've always identified, right? A toy is a boy toy or a girl toy, right? It's a physical thing and often even represents a person or something of gender or something like that, right?
Yeah, very much.
But video games aren't that at all. Video games are a controller, right? And that's it. And it's gender neutral, if anything, right? And so
yeah.
That's a really interesting point that part of – especially as video games have grown in sophistication, people are able to identify their own characters in the video games however they want. And I guess that's a way of some of the first expression of how people might express what's not like kind of a traditional, you know,
that they're not
model.
That guy that's
yeah.
being targeted.
Right.
That was actually me, too. I myself am transgender. I'm non-binary. That means that I'm not male transitioned to female. I stopped right there in the middle and I'm happy with that. That's a comfortable place.
So let me ask about the pronouns are important in the transgender community. How would you identify with that? What do you?
They are important. I use they, them because it is fairly easy. And I actually – my partner uses they, them. They're also trans. And we got into a pretty serious fight about it when they first started doing it because I'm really big on grammatical correctness.
Oh, yes, right.
I was a copy editor for years at a newspaper. I was like – listen, I don't have any problem with your gender identity, but you can't use they for a singular person. That doesn't work. And we argued and we fought and they gave me an example and I was like, oh, I'm sorry, I was wrong. I will adapt because I'm a scientist and I've taught myself to do that. It's like, oh, wait, I was wrong. You were right. I will get used to this.
Well, tell me this evolution of how you went from copy editor, scientist, and you're a part owner of a game store and focusing on this gaming community. Tell me about that, how that happened for you.
I have had so many hats. Really, the game store didn't come specifically from any one thing. We joked for years that we'd buy video games and we're like, we can't really afford this. We don't have the budget for another old game system or other old game, but it's for the retirement fund or it's for the video game store. It was a joke. And then Emery always gets so exasperated telling that story because, like, and then one day Casey said, hey, by the way, we're going to go ahead and do that game store.
Remember that game store joke?
Let's just do that. I've been doing the research. It'll be fine. Yeah. Trust me.
How, in a small town like Juneau, I've often wondered, how does it – what's the audience and is it – you know, if people go in there, will you typically see dozens of people or will you typically – you know, how does the – how is the kind of flow of traffic happen in there?
It – in our old store, we were in the – Airport Many Mullen Apartments by the Northern Tea House, by Freya. It's a little strip mall that's gotten some great renovation, and the people there brought it back to life. They did amazing stuff, and we were part of that rebirth and growth, and it was far too small for us very quickly. We were able to demonstrate really amazing traffic through Google Analytics because people had their location on. Google checked to see where they're walking around. Like, you know, you're getting a lot of traffic. We have much more space in the Nugget Mall. It is a much bigger area, and we've designed it with accessibility and ease in mind. If there were three people in our old store, you ran out of oxygen. Our new spot, it's specifically designed to be comfortable for wheelchair access because our diversity isn't just the LGBTQ community, like I mentioned before. Mm-hmm. It's everyone. We want people with disabilities to be able to play games. We want people who are elderly to feel comfortable coming in and looking at games. No woman is going to come into our store and be asked, what kind of games are you looking for your boyfriend? And that's a common thing you hear down south.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's pretty standard industry-wide, and we don't think it should be.
You mentioned people with disabilities. Has there been – I know that there's sort of an ad that's happening for Nintendo Wii, I think, that's showing some new capabilities of systems for people with disabilities. Or is that something that's been developing?
Actually, yeah. There has been – a lot more recognition in the last couple of years of the diversity in gamers. It wasn't really big when we started what we're doing, but it is growing. And Microsoft partnered with a couple of groups that advocate for gamers with disabilities, and they've designed a controller. They call it the accessibility controller that is this base you can plug 20 or 25 different jacks into and design a controller for your needs. So if you have very limited leg mobility and no arm mobility, you can put 15 buttons on the ground and you stomp the one you need. They advertise it at $100 and it sounds fantastic. That's just the base.
I see.
To actually get the full setup, we're looking to get one of these because we have game rental rooms and it doesn't sit well with us that not everyone can play.
Right.
It feels like it is our responsibility to help bring games to everyone. So we're trying to get one of these controllers and all the attachments. A full setup is about $1,800 or so, but that includes what we need to have a complete quadriplegic with only control of their lips, tongue, and cheeks able to play a first-person shooter game.
Wow.
And that works on the Xbox One and the Nintendo Switch.
Wow, cool.
Yeah.
This is maybe an unfair question, but can you kind of pop to mind maybe a top five coolest games that you like that sort of represent this idea of diversity that's out there that maybe people either hadn't thought about that way or maybe never had heard of?
Yeah, actually, some of those are pretty easy because there are a few really good standouts. One of them that always comes immediately to mind is Horizon Zero Dawn. Horizon Zero Dawn is a story game. It's modern literature. It's this grand epic tale where you're playing by yourself. You're not shooting at anyone online. You're a human in a post-fall of humanity world where there are giant robotic dinosaurs. And I'll tell you, that was a hard sell for me. It's like, all right, you're going to have to really tell the heck out of this tale.
Sounds cool, though.
Yeah, it sounded cool, but really
right,
implausible.
Right.
The story backed it. And the story also featured a female protagonist who's asexual. She gets hit on by numerous people, and she's not interested. She's not interested in men, women, no one. She's got stuff to do,
mm-hmm.
and it has nothing to do with other people. So she'll make friends with them, but it's about her and her story. She grows up in a matriarchal society. It's mostly run by women, and they respect mothers. And she finds a patriarchal society that's exactly the opposite. There's neutral societies. There's a balance of power among the people. It's not all the white guys in charge. Mm. There are people of color in charge, women in charge, men in charge. It's a really diverse game. And they're not forcing it. It's natural and comfortable.
Part of the story.
There is. There's also a transgender NPC who is really well treated, and that's very difficult for the gaming industry because there are very few trans people in the gaming industry who are able to represent themselves. They get their voices silenced, or they don't get to speak at all. It's not safe or comfortable, and the wrong story is told. We get misrepresented, and it's an issue we're facing. Mm-hmm.
Any other games pop to mind when you think of like some of these cool other games? Yeah.
Overwatch is a diversity superstar. My favorite character from that is a woman of color who is autistic, is missing an arm, and is a CEO of her industry. And all of that is secondary to what she's doing. What she's doing is just helping the team. It's fairly incidental, but it could just as easily have been a white man with two arms doing it. That would be the easy thing
more,
to fall back to.
Yes, yeah.
I've heard that.
Interesting.
Almost every character in that game is diverse.
Cool.
They're elderly, they're disabled, they're very heavy. It's great.
Yeah. How about any others?
There is another one that on its face does not seem like it would be a diverse game. It is so classic dude bro looking that you wouldn't consider it. It's Borderlands 2. It is usually on a lot of lists for us because it does a lot of things very well and a lot of things very poorly. After the game came out, there was a bunch of mail that came into them. They wrote a letter back to the community about it. There's a character who has a very pronounced stutter. And in the game, I should mention, this game is raucous. It's ludicrous. It's violent. It's very silly, over-the-top, goofy, in space on another planet. And this character is being harassed by another guy because of her stutter, and your quest, your mission for her is to blow that dude's house off the cliff. So you do, and she says, thanks, that guy was a jerk. And she's not a joke at any point.
Right.
She's taken seriously, and you get to defend her.
Cool.
And military vets were writing in saying, this meant so much to me.
Wow, yeah.
I developed a stutter after an injury in Afghanistan. And we're always made fun of. It's so nice to have somebody treating us like people.
Wow. Wow, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk just real quickly specifically about what's happening tomorrow night. This is a night that you really want to focus on that part of diversity that's about transgender people. So tell me the idea about what's happening tomorrow night.
Yes. So the community has been waiting forever for us to get our game rooms, and we finally got them open. It's a place where you can come rent out the rooms and play any game, any system in the store. We've got those open now, and we have been waiting ourselves to have them open so that we can host the Transgender Gaming Night. This is something that we conceived of quite a while back because we became aware of a lack in the community. There is pretty darn good support for the LGBTQ community in Juneau, especially compared to other places. It's a very positive, friendly town. But there wasn't really anywhere for trans youth in particular to exist. They weren't unwelcome, but there was no welcoming.
There was just a gap in where they could meet, where they could hang out, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, they tend to be overlooked. And when the transgender community does get together and do stuff, oftentimes it's very late at night, or it's in a bar, or it's over dinner. And even if bars allow kids before a certain time, I know I would not, as a kid, have been like, it's only 8 o'clock. I can go into the Red Dog. That's fine.
Yeah, it's uncomfortable for a kid of a certain age, sure.
It's taboo.
Yeah,
you don't go into the bar because you'll get in trouble. That's for alcohol and grown-ups.
Right.
So especially a kid who is transgender who's already standing out, they're not going to take that kind of risk. If they can even get downtown to go to that bar on that night during the week, it's really implausible. So we wanted to create a community and a space within that community where kids could come and just be themselves. They could come exist and be comfortable, and also they could meet mentors. We've learned that the suicide rate of transgender children is higher than most by a lot, and it in Alaska is doubly compounded by the suicide rate of Alaska. But transgender children who have a mentor, somebody they can look up to see that, you know, it is okay to be you. You have a future. You're going to succeed. You're not going to be hated or chased out. We're okay here. they do much better. They're healthier, they're happier, and they tend to take better care of themselves and others. So we wanted them to be able to meet mentors, to interact with the community, and find each other in a safe place. And the gaming community in particular is very anti-women and very anti-gay, anti-trans, mostly online. Juno's gaming community is fabulous. But this was a twofold chance to make them feel welcome, to let them know that we're here for them and everyone else is too.
Well, it's awesome. When's it starting tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night, it starts at 6 o'clock. The mall will be closing at 6, but we have a pseudo-exterior entrance. We'll have some of the doors unlocked near the Joanne's entrance, and you'll just come straight in our backside.
Sounds great. It's gaming night tomorrow, specifically for folks that are transgender, and it's at Game On, and that's a new business. Well, it's new in the Nugget Mall. It's been a business for a while.
I do need to note really quick that it's not exclusively for the transgender youth. It is open to everyone, all allies in particular, and that's important both because there are some people who are themselves not trans, but they have a really strong kinship with the trans community, and there are also people who are trans but they aren't out. They need support, and they don't have it at home, or they don't feel safe to talk about it. It's a chance that those kids can come. And it's also a chance that people who just have really good friends who are trans can go support their friends and be there with them. So everyone is welcome. It is a very small venue. So if you don't identify strongly with the trans group, well, that was a chance to come try it or come hang out another time.
Yeah. Casey Harris from Game On, thanks so much, and have a great event tomorrow starting at 6 o'clock at the Nugget Mall.
Yep, 6 to 8.
All right. Thanks, Casey.